Salutations, ladies and gentlemen. This is Eastbound and Fourth Down. Welcome to another week. I am your host, Craig Wilson, alongside always my good friend,
Mr. Ryan Kelly.
And I don't know if anyone out there is counting, but and neither are we, actually. But we figure this is somewhere around 26 episodes, all told.
Yeah.
More than the Fantastic Four cartoon that was ill-fated back in the day.
Thing's terrible. It's still terrible.
I mean, granted,
everything the Fantastic Four touches dies.
I mean, granted, well, it's being revived, but granted,
that will probably die too.
We're a lot more low budget, and the only thing that would, there's not a lot that it would, you'd have to do a lot to get this to get shut down, obviously.
Yes. But you're stuck with us for the time being.
Yeah. Anyways, it is my favorite time of the year. It is time once again for the NBA playoffs.
It's time for the NHL playoffs. We might touch on NHL a little bit next week.
Probably going to need next week. Granted, the games will still have happened, but due to the fact that both playoff series go incredibly long, don't get done, hockey, end of May, basketball, first/second week of June, depending on how many game sevens it takes, it's going to last a while. So for the next couple months, fantastic sports television a couple times a week.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the most dramatic game in sports, a game seven of an NHL playoff.
Yep. I mean, granted, we understand that many of you out there may not care about hockey. Granted, many of you out there care more about hockey than perhaps other people do or should. And while it is a niche sport, we have gone.
I don't think it's more a niche sport, more than it's just that we're in the South and we don't hear much about it.
That's why it's a niche sport. We're not in the niche. But it's not like that obscure of a sport. We did go over the numbers, and the NHL, despite Gary Bettman's best attempts at gross incompetence, still rakes in, what was it, $3 billion a year?
Yeah.
$3 billion a year? I mean, should it be more? I don't know. Probably.
Yes.
They play in NBA arena, so they probably should. But then again, you also have most of America actually, well, isn't covered in ice normally, even in the winter.
No, but most of America, especially big market cities that have hockey teams, do have ice rinks.
They do, and that's where it happens. Of course, the best way to get fans is get kids involved early, and so they grow up and hope they never fall out of love with the sport.
We've had
that discussion about baseball and how I think that's happening and other people think that's happening. You not so much.
I think it's more the demographics are shifting in terms of baseball. But yeah, I mean, you talking back to, you know, making kids fall in love with hockey, especially in markets that, you know, don't have ice. I mean, I can speak as a Ducks fan. I know the Ducks are very active in Anaheim and that area. They own a hockey rink that people can go skate at. They're constantly having promotions. They hold open practices there.
When I was a kid, when I did sports as a kid, I don't do sports now. But when I was a kid, I was never allowed to do those full contact sports. My parents probably, you know, even when I was doing contact sports, I eventually got phased out due to risk of injury. I never got to play football, never got to play hockey. Hockey, because even though I did actually live in the North, I lived in Nebraska, isn't that big of a thing, but hockey just looks so much fun to play. Yeah, football's a contact sport, and you get to, you know, hit. Hockey, you just get a straight up, throw the gloves down and just go at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that's not the game, but come on, if you play hockey, you have to try it out.
I honestly believe that hockey players, while maybe not in the best shape, are definitely, well, I'm talking about in terms of all athletes, like, nobody looks like Mr. Universe in hockey. However,
I don't define that as shape, because I'd like to see a baseball player take the hit the hockey player takes.
They are, however, the most athletic players.
No. No. Most athletic? No. No. Well, that's a hard one to define.
Based on the balance and coordination it takes to play, to serve a puck on ice while skating backwards.
Okay, and I'm going to counter with to hit a 99-mile-per-hour fastball. Look, I will laugh and joke about baseball players and their and the token blimp on every team, but to hit a baseball... And granted, I like to joke and make fun of baseball all I can, but that is one area I will never... The hand-eye coordination to hit a baseball. Just... I mean, that's that's the only skill these guys have. And that's why they can be so out of shape, because you don't need to be in such great shape to hit a baseball. I mean, look at David Ortiz.
Pappy.
We might get a call from that. I hope not. I hope our friend Johnny doesn't get wind of that. No. I don't think he will.
No.
He's too busy, you know, I don't know, Red Sox stuff.
I don't know. But while we're on that subject very quickly, as much as we love to make fun of Boston here, it is the year anniversary of the...
Bombing,
yes. I about called it the Boston Massacre, but...
No,
I know that's not it.
Well, that is a thing. I don't actually... Yes. Actually, I don't know when that anniversary is. Maybe it is.
I know... Let's see.
Yes, it was an immensely sad time in last year. Shocking. When it happened, I quite frankly, I was like, what? And then another part, well, no, I'm not going to go there, but, yeah, you know.
I was on the air that day. That was...
You know, I was in class. Day. I was actually with a friend who was from Boston who had family up there. Just scared the life out of her.
That was a very rough day. And have you seen what this week's cover of Sports Illustrated is?
No, I have not.
It's like hundreds of people at the finish line at the Boston Marathon. It's a really great cover.
Okay, all right.
Really great cover.
And then just a history note, Boston Massacre, March 5th.
March 5th.
Yeah, 1770.
I do know that the Boston Marathon
is... over 100 years old.
The Boston Marathon is on a citywide holiday.
It is?
Yes.
Do you know what holiday it is?
I do not remember the name of it now.
So, like, just Boston decides, hey, we get a day off?
It's like...
I mean, the marathon's a big deal, and I know a lot of people go to it, but I didn't realize it was a holiday.
Yeah, it's... Jeez, what's the name of it? I have to look it up, or else it's going to bother me.
It's like Paul Revere Day?
No, but anyway... Craig, while I'm looking this up, let's not bore the people. Let's talk a little bit. Let's go in. What are the matchups you're looking for here this NBA?
Let's do some superlatives. It is the end of the year, and it is time to give out awards to players for excellence in the field. First up, we're just going to cover MVP. Between two people, I would say third person, but my third pick is an absolute homer pick, so I'm not even going to go there. MVP this year, Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has been playing out of his mind, shooting. He is not the best basketball player in the league. He is the best offensive basketball player in the league. Best overall player, LeBron James, who is the runner-up. But LeBron James has had a down year by LeBron James standard. And I heard a stat the other day. A LeBron James team hasn't had this many losses in 7 years.
Wow.
I don't know if that was overall, but losses in the second half of the season. I do know this. The Heat have been extremely beatable this second half of the season.
Oh, yes.
But, and granted, it's attrition because LeBron's played a billion games the last 3 years.
However, it's not exactly the hot streak that they went on in the season last year.
No. And that doesn't... I mean, you don't have to get the 20 and the 40. I'm just glad they didn't get the record, but... They're not the same team they were last year. They're tired these days. Next up, Coach of the Year. For me, it has to go to Jeff Hornacek for making the Phoenix Suns relevant and a playoff threat
for whom watchable.
Most people thought was going to be the second worst team in the league. I mean, you look at the roster and you just go, "Who?" It's a who's who of who? Besides the most diehard fans, didn't see these guys coming from anywhere. Jeff Hornacek coaching hire, I remember everyone going, why'd you hire this guy? This guy? He's never done this before. He's no track record. Oh, man, they're tanking for the lottery. Nope. Well, they're in the lottery, but only because they are the ninth seed in the West. And I have a soft spot for the Suns. Once upon a time, they were a cool team to follow.
You just like the gorilla. Let's not kid ourselves.
No, I like Charles Barkley.
That too.
That, and I like the color purple.
Yes, but hey, I found the day.
It's, okay.
In Maine, Wisconsin, and Massachusetts, Patriots Day is celebrated the third Monday of April.
Oh, that's right, Patriots Day.
Obviously not to be confused with National Patriots Day, which is September 11th.
Okay, was National Patriots Day always September 11th?
No, or it was signed to become National Patriots Day after September 11th, 2001.
When was that signed, and why doesn't anyone get that day off? Not to be insensitive, but...
Well, Massachusetts Patriots Day is celebrated to commemorate the surrender at the battles of Lexington and Concord. And that the surrender was at Yorktown. I know.
Yeah, surrender was at Yorktown.
Yeah, but anyway,
Virginia,
Concord, Lexington, and Concord was where
the battle that started.
Was where it started. Revolutionary War. Correct.
That's right. America, yes. Take that.
In 1775.
British people.
Mark.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on to most improved player coming from that Phoenix Suns roster, Goran Dragic.
Who?
Yes, that is right. I said Goran Dragic. And
granted, who?
He was once upon a time Steve Nash's backup point guard, and he's always showed signs of talent, but he has led this team this year. He is averaging 5.9 assists per game, 3.2 rebounds, and is getting about, 20 points a game.
27-year-old Yugoslavian.
That's right, he's a foreign talent.
Yes, he is.
One of the many European players.
Well, Goran Dragic, yeah. It makes sense.
Well, there are people with weird names in America, okay?
I mean, yes, but that's a very European-sounding name.
Well, yes, but there's European-sounding names here, too.
Yes, there are.
My name's European, your name's European.
But not as European as Goran.
Well, we're not Eastern European. Obviously, we're Western.
Mikhail Prokhorov.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, moving on. He is Defensive Player of the Year, and I don't care what you say. Joakim Noah. He is leading his team in assists. I know that's an offensive category, but he is a center. And he is also just a beast on the boards. And he plays his position. There isn't a single person who he cannot guard. Granted, at his position.
And I'll tell you,
he can guard
even if the Bulls are outmatched, and there are very few teams in that league that can outmatch them right now.
Defensively, there is no one. The Bulls are once again...
They play for their leader, and their unquestioned leader, after Derrick Rose was injured now for the year, is Joakim Noah.
The best defense in the league is the Chicago Bulls, who only allow 91.8 points a game. The next best is Indiana at 92. But let's go over to the Heat, who everyone considers to usually be a great defensive team. 97.4. That may not sound a lot, but that's actually quite a lot. That's giving the opposition a heck of a handicap. So, moving on there. Most improved sixth man of the year? I'm also going to have to go Chicago Bulls. And granted, okay, you can call me Homer on this one, but the Bulls are a miserable offensive team, and they can just go stone cold. But Taj Gibson is the only reason why the Bulls can have high-scoring nights.
Well, I'll give you that. Is he the best six-man? No. But is he the most beneficial to his team? Yes.
Actually, when it comes down to six-man, he's pretty up there. I mean, look, six-man. Six-man means you're a role player. Six-man means you do one thing. And generally, it means you score buckets. And out of all the six-man out there this year, he has been the sixth man to get buckets when his team needs him and to provide the spark that team needs. That's basically what the sixth man is.
All right.
And I would say I would put him in a fight with anyone to get that award.
All right, well, that leaves the big one. Who's your MVP?
We already said the MVP.
You already said your MVP?
Yeah, we started off with the MVP.
That's right, because I was looking up Patriots Day.
That's right, yeah. Kevin Durant. Too bad LeBron James, you're going to have to wait for that fifth one till a couple years later.
Yeah, I gotta say, I agree with you for most of them. I mean, especially, I'm there with you on the Durant as the MVP.
Yeah.
I think no one means more to their team than he means to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, and granted, there is the argument, like, how do you define most valuable player? Is it the best person in the league, or is it the guy who means the most to the team? If you want to go guy who means most to the team, I'd give it to Joakim Noah, because the Bulls were an absolute dumpster fire. I mean, I was ready to go into the closet of shame when Derrick Rose went down. Luol Deng got traded. I thought it was shut it down time. But Tom Thibodeau, who once again, Tom Thibodeau has deserved Coach of the Year every year he's been in the league, because Derrick Rose has just absolutely disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Except for that one year where he had a healthy Derrick Rose, who was the MVP that year. But the year before, Chicago was a dumpster fire, and they got into the playoffs and made some noise that year, where he won Coach of the Year. Best coaches in the league: Greg Popovich, Tom Thibodeau, and someone say Doc Rivers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Doc's done a solid job. You can't. If someone wants to say that, you can't really hold that against them.
I mean, unless you have personal grudges.
Well, yeah. Well, like, you hate Doc Rivers and you hate the Clippers.
Yes.
So.
And the Celtics. And the Duke Blue Devils, where his son played basketball at.
You know, as far as the Celtics are concerned, it wouldn't surprise me if Brad Stevens gets a little bit of love for Coach of the Year. Not win the thing, but, I mean, they were supposed to. I get it. I get they're not in the playoffs. I get they finished 12th in the East.
But at the same, 55-56 with one game to go. But at the
same time, people thought they were going to be what Milwaukee is. And they're not. They're 10 games better than that.
You're 10 games better than 15 wins and you want to get that? No! He's not going to get any votes at all!
I'm telling you, he will get a vote or
not. Oh, wow. No, I'd stake my life that he doesn't. Greg Popovich will get votes before he does. Mark Jackson, who is considered to be on the hot seat and fired if he doesn't outright win the championship this year, who is firing assistant coaches, including a personal fan favorite of Brian Scalabrine.
Oh.
With the last 2 weeks.
That's right. Scalman reference.
And he actually got picked up by a D-League team. But awesome. He's firing assistant coaches coming in, and there's friction between him and the owner, and it's 1 year left on his contract. He's more likely to get a vote. I mean, oof, God, Brad Stevenson, no, you come back when you have a winning record. You don't get Coach of the Year with a losing record. Just because you're better than the worst team in the East when you are a bad team in the East, no,
Yeah, well.
Can't see that happen.
Anyway, we'll hit some matchups after this. But first of all, it's time for The One Who Knocks. Who can it be knocking at my door? And The One Who Knocks this week, well, how can you go anywhere else but historic Augusta National to the Masters? Bubba Watson. Second in the Masters in, what, 3 years now?
Yes, sir. Second major overall for him.
Yes, sir. Second green jacket. But the reason I pick him as The One Who Knocks, first of all, Bubba's just a classy, awesome, amazing human being. He's quirky. He has what I call the Happy Gilmore syndrome, in that he doesn't feel like he belongs on the stuffiness that is the PGA Tour.
He once drove a hovercraft on a golf course as his golf cart.
Listen, if that doesn't say America, I don't know what does.
I can think of a few things that's a little bit more American than that, but that's up there.
But most of them involve bald eagles.
No, actually, surprisingly few, because it's technically illegal to handle one.
But anyway, as I was saying, this man's awesome. And literally, late the night, he wins the Masters. Guy doesn't even change. And he heads to Waffle House with his friends for victory dinner.
First off, let me just stop you there. Why does anyone need to change before they go to Waffle House? Much like, I don't know if we brought this up, I know we talked about this before the show, but at what point are you too dressed down to go to either A, Waffle House, or B, Walmart? Like, what? Like, how far down
the... the Walmart dress code?
Yeah, like, the one... Like, and quite frankly, I'm not sure that there's any level of dress that would actually get you kicked out of any of the more colorful Walmarts in America. I mean... Ladies and gentlemen, you've all been to Walmart, and you all know what is waiting for you when you go to Walmart. Yeah. And if you go
to... Well, it depends on the Walmart.
I started that off with colorful Walmarts. And let's face it, anybody who's been to Waffle House at 2 in the morning knows that crazy stuff can go down there. And
oh, yes.
All the rules
are... Has anyone ever been to Waffle House during the day?
I have. You have?
Outside of breakfast?
Yeah, we were there at like 11 o'clock for like...
That's late breakfast.
That's late. It's always
late. Like 2 in the afternoon, who goes to Waffle House?
You're trying me here? I haven't done it. I've always gone for breakfast, but technically it's always breakfast at the Waffle House. There are people who do it. There are people who do it. They do also have lunch items and stuff. It's a diner.
Yeah, I know. But
I mean, granted, it's perhaps an acquired taste. I don't know.
No, it's not, because it's delicious. Everything in Waffle House is delicious.
I don't know if I go there after I win the Masters.
Oh.
But then again,
what? No, because I'd go to Huddle House.
Well, that's just you, but it comes to the what's open at that hour. But shout out to Bubba Watson from sort of the local area here, from kind of my local area back home. He is from, he was born Northwest Florida, Panhandle area. Not quite Pensacola.
So the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, actually, it's the middle of nowhere, and like kind of northeast of Pensacola.
But anyway.
Georgia dog.
Yes, sir. Glory, glory. Right. But good on you, Bubba. Winning your second Masters. You are truly the one who knocks. But anyway, getting back to basketball, I want to ask you, Craig, you know, we've got, obviously the seeds aren't set in stone yet, not all of them anyway.
No, they're not. Right now, we currently have a matchup going on between Dallas and Memphis. It was knotted up when last I looked to see who gets the 7/8 seed. And obviously, in the West, I have both of those teams going out in the first round, so overall, it doesn't really matter. The most intriguing potential seeding shuffle that could happen would be Brooklyn, which it's the worst-kept secret that Brooklyn doesn't want to face Chicago in the first round and would rather face...
they'd much rather face...
Toronto. Because Toronto's never been there before, and Toronto was going to play up the underdog card and how they're the third seed, but no, they're the team everybody wants to face. But Toronto, you have nobody on your team with any real playoff experience. I can't even name your coach. I can name a couple players on your team, but you're untested. And Brooklyn at least has 1 year, and the real reason why Brooklyn really wants to is because second round, they get to face the they would potentially face. Granted, Brooklyn needs to win. Miami, I have all confidence, but they wouldn't face the Miami Heat, who they are 4-0 against this year.
Yes, they have. Season sweep for Brooklyn over the Miami Heat. For whatever reason, Miami just could never find the answers against them.
I mean, granted, some of those games, Dwayne, old man Wade, was out with his creaking knees, but he was in there for a couple of them, and even with Dwayne Wade, alright, let me just say this. This is about to sound really bad coming from me, and I don't mean any ill will. I don't wish anyone harm, but it would not surprise me if Dwayne Wade, rested as he was, had some slightly more serious injury with his injury problems during these playoffs and would not be effective. Granted, he's going to play barring just massive traumatic injury, but I have zero faith in his knees. Miami is extremely beatable this year.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. And, you know, I really, if Indiana hadn't been struggling down the stretch like they have been, mm-hmm. if Indiana as a team just wasn't imploding right now, I would give Miami little chance to go to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, at once upon a time, I thought it would be Indiana. But Indiana, all reports coming out of there and everything I hear about Indiana is they have their psyche as a team. I mean, the house of cards. Like, not even a stiff breeze knocks it over. I'm talking, I mean, you know, if Prince were to whisper, it would knock them over.
Oh. But, you know, Indiana kind of reminds you of that classic story of when you're put together as a group. It doesn't matter what it's for, if it's living, if it's a project at school or work, whatever it is. But you're that group that starts out, yeah, we're so tight, we're so close, everything's going to be great this year. And then the conflict sets in. And then people start getting selfish. And then it all just kind of starts falling apart. People start pointing the fingers, and you can just tell because they're not gelling well as a team right now.
I'm not sure that's exactly what happened. I think it's more of the season has gone on for so long. Yes, there is unrest in the locker room, but I don't believe there's any. I don't believe it's a he said she. One of the biggest problems is they have never been able to gel as an offensive team because they are a defensive team, and they want to be an offensive team because they think that that's the best way for that's they think that's the only reason why they haven't beaten. What they really wanted was home field advantage. If Indiana can come together and realize, okay, we're a half court team, we're gonna grind it out, this is gonna be ugly, but the only way we're gonna win is if every man plays defense and plays sound offense. And there has been bickering on the offense side of the ball because it's not that they don't have a guy to go to. They've got Paul George and they've got a couple other guys. Lance Stevenson, he can straight up shoot the basketball, but they just need to come together and work it out. But I fully expect Chicago to handle their business in the first round of the playoffs, and they will face Indiana. And even though the East is down, the two best teams in the East right now, I'm going to say this right now, the two best teams currently playing in the East are Chicago and Brooklyn. Over the last half, they have better records than Miami and Indiana because they got off to abysmal starts due to Jason Kidd not knowing how to coach a ball game and just the gelling of the players and the whole previous things I mentioned about Chicago.
Absolutely. After such a rough start for Brooklyn, ever since the beginning of 2014, has just been a completely different ball club.
And I will say this. Brooklyn did play Miami in the start, so they've known how to beat Miami since the start. And they've just gotten better. I'm looking for Chicago and Brooklyn to make it out of the... provided they don't play each other. If they play each other in the first round, that will be extremely disappointing to me because these are two teams that can make a lot of noise in the playoffs, and I fully expect them to get past their second round, and I expect both of them to go at least 7 games if they don't win their second round series.
Ooh.
I'm going to go full on Homer Goober mode right now because, you know, it's what I do when it comes to the playoffs, but I've already said it. Chicago has the best defense, and if they can get anything of an offense going... At the start of the year, I had Chicago in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I'm going to have them there again. I like Chicago to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, potentially facing the Miami Heat, because they'd have to play Indiana in the second round, and then they'd have to play the winner of the 2-seed matchup. I think it will be Chicago and Miami, and if Brooklyn gets their way and can get to the 6th seed, and have to face Miami in the second round, they'll take Miami further than Miami wants to go, and they will beat Miami up. And then Miami, another team Miami doesn't want to face besides Brooklyn, is Chicago, because Chicago hates Miami and makes those games personal.
They do. Well, everyone hates Miami.
That's good that everyone can say that, but not everyone has Joakim Noah, who, I mean, pretty much calls out LeBron James every time he plays him and takes it personal, and shots will be fired. Ribs will be bruised. Jaws will be bruised. And bodies are going to hit the ground.
Maybe. But I tell you, I'm with you. Chicago and Brooklyn are the two hottest teams. I know you're for the sake of being a contrarian a little bit, and at the same time, I just like the basketball they're playing right now. I like Brooklyn to come out of the East. Especially if they get their way and they get that sixth seed.
That is so hard for me to say that. I know.
I'm not expecting you to say that.
Just time after time, my stance has always been, if you in a playoff seeding, if you are lower than X team in whatever playoff series you're in, NCAA tournament, this, I just got to laugh and just go, I'm not giving you a shot. Granted, Brooklyn is better than what they would be as a sixth seed, much like in the NCAA tournament where I had teams who were better than their seeding. Still, this is the pros. I'm sorry. I don't care how bad the East is. I just can't do it.
All right. Well, then anyway, whatever. Let's go to the West. The much deeper, more interesting conference.
Is it deeper?
Yeah.
Really? All right.
Craig, are we really even going to have this chat?
Oh, yes, we are. Hand on heart. Let's go down the list of the eight teams in the playoffs. Honest to God, shot to win it all. This is the playoffs, and we're only down to eight seeds. How many teams have an honest to God shot to win it all? San Antonio.
Oklahoma City.
Yes.
The Clippers, as much as you don't want to say so, have a shot.
Explain why they have a shot. Convince me.
Explain why they have a shot, because they have a great coach, they can score in a hurry, and they're playing solid enough defense to get by.
I don't know about that.
Almost 7-point differential compared to everybody else they play. Listen, when you score that many points in the NBA, yes, defense is great.
But here's the problem: the teams they're going to have to get through, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, who play half court defense. You don't get those games up in the 108s. That was regular season. You've got to handicap this now. San Antonio will die before they let you get 108 out of them.
But can San Antonio, those old legs, face up against the athleticism of the Clippers?
Yes. 100% yes, because it isn't the old legs who have to do it. It's the young guys. It's the Tiago Splitters of the world. It's the Kawhi Leonard of the world. Kawhi Leonard is fast becoming the next Manu Ginobili. He is a young man. He plays lights out defense, and he is efficient enough as an offensive player that you do have to respect his power. And here's the other thing. We already mentioned this. Greg Popovich is the greatest living coach in the NBA. And every year people say, oh, the Spurs, they're old. We've been saying the Spurs are too old for like 6 years now. Until Tim Duncan dies, I will never again say that man is too old to play basketball. But Clippers, outside shot. All right, Houston, you giving them a shot?
The Rockets?
Because the answer is no.
Probably not.
The West
The Blazers?
No. No.
I'd give Golden State a puncher's chance.
No, not with the turmoil that's been going on with that team. Not with the discomfort.
Give them a puncher's chance.
Golden State has to play the Clippers the first round. So if you give Golden State a shot, you are discounting your Clippers pick.
Listen, I'm saying whichever of those two teams wins that matchup has a chance to win.
Okay, you're going to go there? All right. But, all right, percentage chance for Golden State. What's your on a scale of 1 to 10 on your confidence in that pick, you're allowed to use decimals to round this out.
2.5
is shaky. That's
25% shot. Listen, I'm not telling you that they're
going to win. No, I said on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you? And you said 2.5. That's less than half. You're not even halfway sure that they have a shot to make it.
Oh, and in terms of having a shot, I thought you were saying percent chance that they take the whole thing.
Your confidence in it. This is to win it all. teams that have a legitimate shot to win it all. Not to make a good playoff series, not to make it interesting, not to make
I'm
it
deep. I'm 50 to 60% confident that they could win it all.
Over every team in the tournament.
Dude, you're not playing every team. You're just playing your matchups.
Yes, but they have to... Okay, over all their potential matchups. You like them better than if they had to play San Antonio. You like them better if they had to play Oklahoma City.
But here's the thing. For all we know, San Antonio's not there. For all we know, Oklahoma City's not there.
So you're...
It's probably unlikely.
You're assuming the lower seed wins every match.
I'm not assuming beat all the lower. It.
Well, you just kick them out. You just kick
it's San the Antonio playoffs. Out. Anything can happen.
Sir. I'm going to stop you right there. What playoffs are we in right now?
The NBA.
Let's all put on our tinfoil hats together, okay? Put on your tinfoil hat. Now, what American sporting league does its best job of allegedly setting up its playoffs?
That would be the National Basketball Association.
That's right. It ain't gonna happen. Look, an 8 seed can beat a 1 seed. That I'm not saying that can't happen. But to win it all, Golden State, to me, for Golden State to win it all, I would give them an 8% chance to win it all. If I gotta give marbles out to everybody who I think has a shot to win it.
But dude, I mean, we go back up to the East. I mean...
In the East? The East? There's... four teams that can win it. Indiana, Miami, and those are your two strong ones. Then you have Chicago and Brooklyn.
But, dude, if you're going to make the point about Golden State imploding, what about the Pacers? What about their implosion?
They still have the talent and they have the offense. Now, granted, I understand that, surprisingly, the Golden State Warriors are one of the best defensive teams in the league. However, look at the makeup of the team. Who on that team has... the history, the intangibles to lead the team. Their starting center, Andrew Bogut, is out. They just lost their best defensive player for the season with cracked ribs. And David Lee is still injured, and he's never he probably isn't coming back. So you've just lost about 16, 20 rebounds a game. Not to mention David Lee's always double-digit in scoring. So,
fair enough, but let's get back to the argument in hand.
They got no shot.
Dude, no shot. But here's the thing. The argument at hand was this. You were talking about how the East is just as deep as the West.
No, that
was the argument.
Allegedly.
Wrong.
I said, who's deep? I got four teams from the East who can win it. Realistically, from the West, there's three.
Dude,
that fourth one is weaker than
if
your, the Brooklyn argument.
If you put the 1 through 8 seeds up against each other. So, for instance, Indiana will play San Antonio, Miami.
Look,
I'm talking about depth.
That, no.
5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th seed.
But that's not how depth is defined, though. Depth is defined.
Yes, it is.
No.
My 8 seed is better than your 8 seed. That's depth.
No.
My third string guy is better than your third string guy.
You misunderstand. Depth. You misunderstand. I am referring to depth in teams per conference that have a shot to make it to the finals. Not could my 8 seed beat your 8 seed because they don't play each other. You can't do depth that way because, granted... in a perfect world, East and West would disappear and only the top 16 teams make it into the playoffs. In a perfect world, that's how it happens. But we don't live in that perfect world. Depth means how many teams in your bracket, in your side of the conferences, have a shot to make it to the finals. And the East has more teams with a legitimate shot to make it to the finals than does the Western Conference. Because the Western Conference is better. But unfortunately, their better teams are so talented. The disparity between coaching talent and on-court talent between 1, 2, and 3 compared to 4 through 8 is a gulf as wide as the Grand Canyon. And even then, I would go so far as to say the difference between 1 and 2 in the West is so vast that the Clippers, granted, Blake Griffin has turned himself around, and I actually haven't been bashing Blake Griffin this year.
He's had a great year.
I still hate the Clippers because they are annoying, obnoxious, and bandwagon-y. And I can't get behind any team that becomes the bandwagon team unless it was my team going into the season, i.e. the Denver Broncos. I was already a fan. There were some bandwagon people on there. Admittedly, I can't get onto it because they still aren't a team where I have faith in them winning. Granted, they have a coach and they have an outstanding point guard. In a few years, I might need to be a little bit more worried, but they're not there yet.
But anyway, who's your favorite out of the Western Conference?
I'm going to have to go San Antonio, who is currently the best team in the league, not just record-wise, but the ease at which they have gone through the NBA teams this year. And I understand they always win 60 games a year, usually. There's been a couple where they didn't, where they usually win. They always win 50 a year. I think there's only been 1 year in the last, like, 18 years where they didn't hit 50 wins. It's just unreal how consistent that team is. And I know you hate consistency. And I know you
don't hate consistency.
You hate the Cardinals, and you find the Spurs extremely boring. You hate consistency.
I don't find the Spurs completely boring because Greg Popovich is awesome.
Yes, and also, this isn't the Spurs, like last year, this isn't the Spurs team of your youth. This is the Spurs team of your young adulthood. This team can score points. They average, 105 points per game and limit opponents to 97.4 points a game. That's insane. That's crazy. I mean, when you say you have a 10-point differential, but your 10-point differential means you're in triple digits and your opponent is still three shy of making triple digits, that's still just insane. And you know that 97 gets inflated because of garbage time minutes, because this team just crushes you, and this team's on a mission.
Yeah.
They know they've got maybe one more year of Tim Duncan. If last year wasn't win one for the Gipper, this is their win one for the Gipper year.
Yeah, I might agree with you there. But, you know, my pick, I think your one and your two seed in the West are going to meet each other in the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
And I think...
Absolutely.
I just got a feeling about Oklahoma City. I like what they can do on both sides of the floor. And I mean,
absolutely.
I love Kevin Durant. I feel like Durant and the Thunder come out of the West, they'll play Brooklyn. And they'll beat Brooklyn in six.
I'm still calling you insane for that Brooklyn pick. I give Brooklyn a shot to make it to the conference semis, but man, that's a limb out. That's a limb I am not willing to get out on. And I've made some bold predictions, and you've made some bold predictions, and they usually don't turn out well.
It's basketball. It's not exactly my forte.
That's right.
I can say dumb stuff and get away with it.
Well, Wisconsin would beg to differ.
Okay, shut up.
You're never letting that down. Yeah, but it's exciting times. Also, Stanley Cup playoffs. We will talk about those more next week, as we have both of our main teams made it in there.
Yeah.
Granted, mine may have limped in there, but
I still got the Blues in the Final Four, though.
We'll get to that next year. Let's not spoil that too much.
Quack 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 quack, Mr. Duxworth.
Let's hope so.
Quack, 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 Mr. Duxworth.
Well, I'd remind you that with the exception of 1 year, both of our teams are historic chokers, so let's not get our hopes up too much.
We've won one in the past decade. That's...
You've won one all time. Just say all time. Well, you haven't even been around that long.
I was about to say, well, considering we've been around 20 years.
You haven't been around... I've been around longer than the Anaheim Ducks have.
Yeah, so...
You've won one.
And yet we've still won a title.
Yeah, you've won one. It's, you know, okay, all right. You got one. But other than that, let's face it, both of our teams, historic jokers.
The Ducks can be. But the Ducks usually, outside of last season, which now we have Bruce Boudreau, who's a historic, who's a fantastic coach, and I love him. But is
I believe you were about to say historic choker because yes, he
is historically a playoff choker.
With
the
his Washington
the Ducks, see, the thing is, the Ducks are historic regular season chokers. Kind of like those Pittsburgh Pirates of, what was it, 2 years ago that were leading the division at the All-Star break
and
they ended up outside looking in.
Call a spade, doesn't matter when you choke, you choke, you choke.
Chokers, yes, I get it. I get it. I was just trying to accentuate the difference. But anyway.
I'm hoping that St. Louis got their choking out of the way and not getting the number one overall seed.
Same here. Well, we did get the one overall.
Not winning their...
Of the four regions now.
We'll also...
I like the new playoffs.
We'll have to take a look so we can be better informed when it comes to explaining exactly who plays what, why there's where, even though there's only two...
It's to foster divisional rivalries. It's...
And somehow... I'm not... I think it ended up okay.
Oh, yes. It's great. It's going to foster divisional rivalries, and it's, quite frankly, good for the sport. But anyway...
I believe that brings this show to a close.
That does wrap this show up to a close. But I would be remiss if I couldn't tell you how you could join us on the interwebs. You can like us on Facebook at Eastbound and Fourth Down. You can follow us on Twitter at EB4D_podcast. You can listen to us on Podomatic like you might already be doing. You can listen to us on iTunes like you might already be doing. Whatever you're doing, however you're listening to us, we enjoy having you this week, every week that we've been here. And gosh, we've almost made it to 30 shows.
Almost. Should there be a? I don't know. 30. I don't know.
We'll do an anniversary thing.
This is just 30. We didn't do one for 25. Yeah. Oh wait, actually, this might be 25.
No. We'll do one for episode 52.
52.
The anniversary.
Why would we do it for 52?
52 weeks equals how many? What? What? A year.
I don't keep track of how many weeks there are in a year.
Whenever we get to a year, that's what we'll do. But anyway,
we can do half year. We already missed that, didn't we?
No, we haven't already missed it.
We haven't missed half year?
No, we haven't.
Starting in August?
Whatever. Anyway, I'm Ryan Kelly.
I'm Craig Wilson.
Y'all come back now.
Yeah, here. He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm Eastbound, just watch old bandit run.